Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Esprit.net News.
I want to get the language right tonight.
This is America. My president is back.
Never let anybody tell you that your efforts don't matter.
This is not a war zone. These are unarmed people.
Politicians and commentators.
Don't let anybody take your man.
Does that remind you that I've done this before?
It doesn't make you tough to hurt these people.
You have tuned into Independent Thought Radio, where we cover world and national news with current affairs. Some good, some bad, but it's all the news you need to know. I'm your host, Jerome Esprit, bringing you straight talk outside the headlines. So sit back and relax, call in, or hit us up in chat. Now, as long as you're ready, we're ready. Welcome again to Esprit.net News. I'm your host, Jerome. You're listening to a week worth of news in just one setting. On this program, President Obama makes a historic trip to Cuba and Argentina. New home sales rise on strong gains in the West. That's in the West Coast, I guess. And illegal drugs should be decriminalized is what health experts say as they admit that the war on drugs has failed, and Volkswagen and Porsche recall 800,000 SUVs worldwide over a foot pedal problem. And also on this program, a shift to plant-based fish feed could hurt your health. We have that this week in court and much more, but I want to welcome you on to the show. Again, you're listening to Esprit.net News on Esprit Radio. We're here every Thursday, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can call in and join us live, area code 323-693-3038, even if you want to call and listen. And if you want to join the program, hit 1 on the line, and we will bring you in for any questions or comments or news stories that you want us to cover on this program. Now, our first story, a Tribe Called Quest co-founder, Fife, who is 45, passed away after decades of suffering from diabetes. Now, if you don't know who Fife Dog is, check the rhyme. Just check out all the stuff from Tribe Called Quest. He suffered from type 1 diabetes, which he was diagnosed in 1990 and underwent a kidney transplant in 2008. So I want to shout out that, and sorry I didn't put some music up so that you can hear some Tribe Called Quest, because I know I have a ton of it. But I wanted to start off the show by acknowledging another rap legend, pioneer, especially that group is, you know, royalty in hip-hop. So Tribe Called Quest co-founder, Fife Dog, there you go. All right. Now, new U.S. single-family home sales rebounded modestly in February as a surge in the West offset sharp declines in other regions. The Commerce Department released these numbers on Wednesday, saying that home sales rose 2.1% to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 512,000 units. January sales pace was revived up to 502,000 units from the previous reported 492,000 units. Oil prices tumbled 4% this week as crude oil setting below the key $40 a barrel mark after a 6 straight weeks of a record highs in stockpiles. Now, traders warned that this could cut short the market, their two-month-long rally. I guess that's cutting it short. And the U.S. Government Energy Information Administration, or the EIA, said that crude stockpiles rose 9.4 million barrels last week. That's three times the 1.3 million barrels they forecast by analysts. So there you have it. There's a ton of oil. There's no reason our gas prices should be above $1.10, but you know, I'm just saying. Haven't heard that from me, but apparently we have a lot of oil on hand. Now, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration is proposing a ban on certain types of powdered gloves because they pose a health risk to patients, the agency announced. Now, the powder is meant to make it easier for doctors and nurses to put on and take off gloves. However, the powder has been linked to respiratory reactions, wound inflammation, and post-surgical adhesions. Now, the ban is not for all powder gloves, but specifically for powdered surgeon's gloves. Now, powdered patient examination gloves and absorbable powder for lubricating surgeon's gloves. Okay, that's who it's for. Now, the powder has been linked to airway inflammation, wound inflammation, and post-surgical adhesions, which are bands of scar tissue that form between the organs and the tissue. So the aerosol glove powder used in latex rubber gloves carries proteins that cause reactions, but powder used on synthetic gloves do not carry that protein. So the powdered synthetic gloves, okay. The other gloves, not. The latex rubber gloves with powder. Okay. Now, the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission has ruled that ExxonMobil Corp. must include climate change resolutions in their annual shareholder proxy. Now, a defeat for the world's largest publicly traded oil producer, which had argued that it already provides adequate carbon disclosures. Now, in a news story that just came out today, the Rockefeller family said that they are leaving the oil business. Now, this is big because Mobil Oil is Standard Oil, so ExxonMobil is still the Rockefellers, and they said due to them denying the climate change, their contributions to climate change, the Rockefellers have announced that they will be giving up their shares in oil in Exxon or ExxonMobil. So maybe they may have to just change it back to Exxon. I don't know if they're just going to go to Mobil. Don't know how that's going to go, but that is what the news story is. Now, President Barack Obama, his wife, children Sasha Malia, and the First Lady's mother-in-law, Marian Robinson, touched down in Havana, Cuba on Sunday with, first drops of rain coming down. It was raining on the first day. They had 3 days in Cuba. It was the first time a sitting president in nearly 90 years had visited the island. The trip, the White House says, was deepening America's relationship with the Cuban government following more than a half century of tension. Now, the president invoked a future of hope for Cuba in an unprecedented live television address delivered in the Grand Theater in Havana. The president said that he had come to Cuba to bury the last remnants of the Cold War after decades of conflict. He told the Cuban president, Raul Castro, that he didn't need to fear a threat from the U.S., nor from the voice of the Cuban people. Now, in his keynote speech on the last day of his three-day visit, the president said that it was time for the United States and Cuba to leave the past behind and make a journey as friends and neighbors and as family together towards a brighter future. He also called for the lifting of the 54-year-old U.S. trade embargo against Cuba, and which was met by loud applause, if you heard it or saw it live. He insisted that the United States would respect the two nations' differences and would not attempt to impose change on the communist-run island. Now, the president acknowledged that there were flaws in the American system, economic inequality, the death penalty, racial discrimination. He said that those were just a few examples and that President Castro had a much longer list of the U.S. shortcomings and had reminded the president of many of them. Now, I want to say this about that trip. The next president probably won't respect what President Obama did, but we know that we are not better than Cuba. And so there's no big deal in this. And the president kind of went there and told the truth, whereas, most of the time as the United States, we like to go places and not really tell the truth. The president kind of did. So I just want to say, if you missed it and didn't get a chance to see the president in Cuba, it's very important that you see how the president handled that. It's sick and sad that the U.S. media did not cover it like they should have. But, hey, I'm covering it here. So welcome to the program. Now, as the president concluded his historic trip to Cuba, a group of young Cubans who were hopeful about the recent changes, but many want some things about their home to stay the same, they said in a news story, it's a really long one, but they said that we don't want a lot of McDonald's and Starbucks. So they're not asking the U.S. to modernize Cuba or to make it U.S. Cuba. They want to stay Cuba, and they said, and the president said, we will respect the differences and would not attempt to impose change in the communist-run island. Let's just keep that where it is. Thought I'd share. Now, also, the president and his family and Argentine's president said that they've organized a team to potentially lay the groundwork for a free trade between the two countries during their meeting in Buenos Aires in Argentina after he left Cuba. Now, understand, Argentina does not like the U.S. because in the past, the U.S. has backed military dictators that massacred many of Argentinians. So just so that you know, this is not a friendly place, and it's really an anti-American country, and they still love the president. So the president and his family arrived in the capital city early Wednesday for their two-day visit, seeking to strengthen ties with Argentina, their Argentina's recently elected government. Now, the president of Argentina, Mauricio Macri, I guess is how you pronounce his name, he said that you're at home when he greeted the president during the press conference, also praising the president's very important leadership over his green agenda, and he said that Argentina would help lead the fight against climate change in the 21st century. His presence will coincide The president's presence will coincide with the 40th anniversary of the military coup that brought to power the most brutal military regimes in the region, not just Argentina, but the U.S. backed all of these governments that brutalized their people. And so there is pushback, and hopefully the olive branch that President Obama extended to them is a sign of good relations in the future. Again, with these presidential candidates, I'm not sure we can keep up the momentum until the 46th president, but we'll see how that goes. Now, there was growing evidence that most of the nation's dramatic jump in health care coverage is due to President Obama's law, not the gradual economic recovery. That's according to a new study that came out. Now, that's going to raise the election year political risk for Republicans who keep campaigning on repealing Obamacare without a plausible substitute. And they said, why consider GOP frontrunner Donald Trump's repeal and replace plan? A nonpartisan analysis said it would push 20 million people back into the uninsured category, and that's a recipe for political backlash. Now, the share of Americans without health insurance has dropped about 9% to a historic low, but even as the economy expanded, the major government survey showed a lackluster improvement in the job-based coverage. So the people who didn't have insurance are getting coverage, and the corporations are not covering as much as they normally do. So I want to say this as well as a story that I glanced over with Hillary Clinton saying something about Obamacare and that they were going to make more changes to it. So I don't really know what to say about this presidential field, but here we go. We have evidence 20 million people would be pushed off from Donald Trump's, and Hillary wants to claim it for herself. Here we go. All right, now, former Arkansas Circuit Court judge who pled guilty to a federal bribery charges is slapped with a 10-year prison sentence. He is sentenced, the former judge, as circuit court judge, Michael Maggio, who is the U.S. district judge, Brian Miller said that the 54-year-old former judge's actions were crooked, so he was sentenced to 10 years. Now, a top aide to Richard Nixon said that the war on drugs was created to punish anti-war protesters and African Americans, according to a report in Harper's Magazine. Now, this Nixon aide, he's Nixon's domestic policy chief, made the admission in 1994 in an interview. Recently, they revisited the interview on the war on drugs in Harper's, and he told the magazine the two groups were seen as Nixon's biggest enemies. That's the anti-war protesters or hippies and African Americans. And so he associated by, I guess he said, we could make it illegal. We couldn't make it illegal to be against either the war or blacks, but we can get the public to associate hippies with marijuana and blacks with heroin and then criminalize both heavy. He said that we could disrupt those communities. We could arrest their leaders, raid their homes, break up their meetings, and vilify them night after night on the evening news, is what he said. He said, did we know that we were lying about drugs? Of course we did. He said that he was a part of the Watergate cover-up group, by the way, if you didn't know, that he served 18 months in prison for conspiracy and perjury. But this stuff was left on the floor of an interview from 1994. He admitted it way back then, and they are just publishing the notes from that interview. So here we go. So for all those people who kept thinking, you guys are just making this up, and there's no grand conspiracy, I guess there was one, and now there's proof. Now, a top global health expert from the Johns Hopkins Lance Commission argued harsh drug laws and zero tolerance policies have been ineffective. Instead, they have harmed public health and abused human rights. Now, drug laws that were intended to protect the public have contributed to disease transmission, lethal violence, discrimination, forced displacement, and undermined people's right to health. And so experts are calling for reforms in drug policy so that nonviolent minor drug offenses should be decriminalized with a greater emphasis on treatment rather than punishment. Now, the commission report found the use, possession, and petty sale of minor and nonviolent drugs should be decriminalized across the board. Now, again, I find this interesting. Nixon vilified heroin. These guys are saying not to do it. I'm thinking the color of the people using heroin is kind of changing. That's what I'm thinking. All right, I just want to remind you, listen to EspriNet News on Espri Radio. You can call in to join us. Eric, code 323-693-3038. Now, a freeway was trashed with beer and chips after a Budweiser driver crashed a tractor trailer into a Frito-Lay truck. The cleanup was on Interstate 95 in Florida, causing the southbound lane to be closed for 3 hours. But, hey, you know, that just seems like everybody who wanted to enjoy the basketball games over the weekend should have been that accident or something. I don't know, it's just a thought. Now, a woman in Connecticut, 60, sued Yale surgeons after they removed the wrong rib and then lied about it. Now, Deborah Craven had two operations in a day at the Yale New Haven Medical Center in Connecticut as a result of the error, and claims that the surgical team lied about why the second procedure was needed. They went in and fixed the problem, but never told them that they removed the wrong rib. Now, I don't think you can replace the rib and put it back in, but there you have it. They're now in court. Now, Alex Rodriguez is planning on retiring at the end of 2017. This is after that Major League Baseball season, after playing out his contract with the New York Yankees, and he has some unheard-of contract. I don't remember the numbers, but New York Yankee Alex Rodriguez is planning on retiring. All right, LeBron James continues to make the news with what he's saying off the court and what he has done lately on the floor for Cleveland Cavaliers. So James told the Bleacher Report in an interview that he would take less money to play on the same team with his basketball friends Dwayne Wade, Carmelo Anthony, and Chris Paul before their careers end. He said, "I really hope that before our careers are over, we can actually play together," is what James said. "At least one, maybe two seasons, me, Melo, D-Wade, CP." Now, he said, "We can get a year in. I would actually take a pay cut for that. It would be pretty cool to make it happen, possibly near the end of his career. I've definitely had thoughts about it, and we'll see." So James, who becomes a free agent after this season, Paul becomes a free agent after 2017, and Dwayne Wade and Carmelo Anthony is in their contracts, but Carmelo Anthony can waive his trade clause if he wanted to at New York. So, respectively, they seem like Wade and Anthony are locked into their contracts. But just to give you some context, I know this is a new news story. He said this during the All-Star break. He didn't just say this while they're going into the playoffs. So if you ask somebody during All-Star weekend if they want to play with their friends, he said yes, and hopefully he would want to do that. I would say the same thing. Now, Marines are going to undergo mandatory sensitivity training as women enter all combat roles in the Corps for the first time. Now, the mandatory training features a lesson on institutional changes and unconscious bias, which addresses the idea that people prejudge others based on race, gender, and other factors. Now, again, this is new to the Marines, but I swear they should have probably had that a long time ago. Now, if you're a Marine, low-key, you want to call in and talk about this, this is new, sensitivity training for the Marines. Just thought I'd share that story for you military folks. All right. Now, new evidence tied to the deadly 2014 Listeria outbreak is they're saying it's tied to raw milk from an organic farm in Pennsylvania. So the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention has identified that Listeria outbreak to raw chocolate milk produced by Miller's Organic Farm in Bird in a Hand, Pennsylvania. That's a nice name. All right, so if you had any from there, that's where your Listeria came from, if you need to know. Now, authorities went to charge a Florida woman whose 4-year-old son shot her in the back after she bragged about his gun skills on social media. So Jamie Gilt put a loaded handgun under the front seat of her truck. The weapon then slid to the back seat where her son Lane was riding in a booster seat, is what police revealed at the news conference, and he shot her in the back. So now she probably will be brought up on charges because of what she's saying on social media. So I thought she would have been charged anyway. That's just me. Now, a man who spent 20 years in prison for murdering a New York teenager, despite there being no evidence, and 13 people confirmed that he was in Florida at the time, is finally set free. Richard Rosario, who's 40, has been released after spending 20 years in prison for the death of a 17-year-old in New York City. And he told the police that he was in Florida at the time. This has to be the second person that was in Florida charged with murder that the police really just did not let go. I don't know what to say about that. Now, James Meyer had been driving his daughter to school when he was pulled over in Concord, North Carolina for a broken taillight. But the musician was stunned when police pulled up his record and found that he had a 14-year-old warrant out for his arrest. When he demanded to know what the warrant was for, police informed him that he was wanted for failing to return a VHS copy of Freddie Got Fingered in It was rented in 2001. So for a okay, so I want to say this just so that if you're hearing me in the police world, if somebody has a warrant for their arrest for a VHS tape, I think you should just find them and leave them alone. I remember those days when you had to go to Blockbuster and all of that stuff, but that's just wrong. So he was arrested and handcuffed on a warrant for a 14-year-old or for a VHS tape. It's worth nothing. All right, now LL Cool J is set to return to the world of hip-hop with a new album. Now, the announcement came on Twitter this week at when LL's, whose real name is James Todd Smith, he now deleted the tweet, by the way. It proclaimed that he was stepping away from music for good. But he said, "Today I'm officially coming out of retirement and starting a new album. The studio time is set for 8 p.m. is what he wrote. And I'm going to massacre the rap game." Now, the NCIS Los Angeles star tweeted that, "Oh, because I've been doing this for a long time, I can't have fun with the Twitter game." And he previously had 14 albums appear on Billboard 200. So he's had a long chart. His last album was Authentic, released in 2013. But LL is back. All right. Now, Indian Wells CEO Raymond Moore was forced to apologize for his sexist comments about female tennis players. Now, Serena Williams called his comments a disservice to women all over the world, and the California Tennis Tournament director resigned a few days after, saying that female players were very lucky that men make all the decisions in tennis and that male players carry the sport. He did resign later. Now, I want to say this about Indian Wells. I forgot this was where Venus and Serena boycotted for years, because when they used to play in California at Indian Wells, they were called the N-word while they were on the court. They were letting the fans call them names, and so they boycotted for years. Serena finally goes back, wins the doggone tournament, and then the CEO comes out and says that. That's why he resigned, because they want Venus and Serena to come back, apparently. Now, a New York PD cop lied in court to convict an innocent man and sabotage a fresh investigation into a case 20 years later. Eric Gleason and four others spent 18 years in prison for 1995 fatal shooting of a delivery driver. And I guess he was, I don't know what his, I'm not going to say his name, but they were released in 2013 when two gang members were found to be the real killers, but they threw other people in jail for it. New York City. There we have it. So when you say that people don't, you're giving away Hulk Hogan all of that money, you need to give people who spend 18 and 20 years of their life in jail for things they didn't commit because people are lying, they should have money. Now, a Houston woman shoots up the 90. She shot out the engine of her ex-boyfriend's brand-new Rolls Royce after harassing him for months. Police said the woman rolled up alongside of her ex's car while driving a white Chrysler 300. That's a nice car. Shortly after 3 a.m. and fired a single shot after both vehicles pulled into a parking lot at the Doubletree Suites Hotel. I don't think that's good advertising for the Doubletree, but I guess she was a little mad at him. Now, Charles 60. Branson apologized after a woman claimed that she was called an effing Chinese pig on a virgin fight by a fellow white passenger, but the cabin crew threatened to kick her off the plane. Now, Richard Branson has sent an apologetic tweet after the Chinese woman claimed that she was racially abused by a fellow passenger on board the flight from London to Shanghai on March 1st. And I don't know if he's comping her or he did anything for her, but CEO is a little upset with his cabin crew. There you go. Now, KFC, there's a KFC chicken eating contest. They canceled it because in Indonesia, a man choked to death. Seconds. Now, the 45-year-old died after attempting to eat three chicken wings in under 5 minutes at the restaurant. And he died. I don't know what to tell you. They have now canceled the whole nationwide competition, but you would think that it would be low maintenance, but anything with a bone in it, just go back to hot dog eating. But anyway, that just didn't work out. All right, I want to let you know that you're listening to EspriNet News on Espri Radio. You can call in and join us, area code 323-693-3038. Now, while I'm into the whole chicken news, an 18-year-old man who helped foil a robbery doing his job interviews at a Popeyes eatery in New Orleans is rewarded with employment. Now, I think I would want more than that. Now, the assistant manager at a Popeyes Louisiana kitchen location in New Orleans said a man came into the store and asked the cashier to give him change for a dollar. The man reached into the register while it was open, grabbed a handful of cash before running out the door, and the interviewee took him off of me and held him and with another employee until the police got there. So she said that the manager said that this can't be real. It was the first time I've ever seen this. I'm thinking that you wouldn't want to see this. And said that it was also the interviewee said that he was in disbelief of the unfolding events. But again, I think they should have gave him a reward and gave him a job. But getting a job, that's a tough job interview if you have to go break up robberies on your interview. That kind of is a little rough. All right. Now, let's go to the lines. I know, let's bring in the commiss. Kathleen, how are you doing? I had to just squeeze that one more story in. Seriously, if I'm at a job interview and you're getting robbed, I'm not going to take the job. I don't care if you offer it or not. And if I foiled the robbery, I'm not going to do it.
Hello. Wait a minute. You present the robbery and all they offer you is a job.
Is a job.
No, like that's not where you need to work. But I was going to ask you if it was Samuel Jackson.
Wait, they should have made him manager. Like, he should have just got registered on this or been cooking.
Period.
Yeah, he should have got bigger. I'm not saying that they did. What'd you say?
He gets a store in another location.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. He should have his own location. Man, that's a hard job interview. I'm not doing that. I'm just saying. I don't think police officers actually have to go on a ride along before they go to the academy. Like, they really, you got to get accepted first. And, you know what I mean? I don't think you do that. Like, yeah, if you stop this robbery, you got a job. That's a tough crowd.
So, no, it was not Samuel Jackson. It was Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy.
Oh, right. But that was Sam Jackson who tried to rob. That was Sam Jackson who tried to rob McDowell's, and so it was Eddie Murphy who saved him. So it was a scene from, you're right, it was a scene from Coming to America.
That's right. So and then remember Mr. McDowell gave him the opportunity to be the valet at his private party at the house.
Oh, right, because that was the reward for stopping the robbery? Yes. Lucky
so
he didn't offer him a little shake.
I know. So we gotta go ask the guy if he set that up.
Yeah. Hey, he could have just wanted that job bad enough. He's like, go in and rob him. I'm gonna hold you down. That make me look good. That is a long way to go. Like I said, it's a long way to go. to go for a job interview. Oh man. All right. Well, I'm just saying, just gotta be careful on your job interviews. All right,
careful.
Now, an Indian woman who was 18 divorced her husband after discovering that he. Okay, I should have saved the story. I didn't mean to bring you in on this one, but she discovered he was impotent on her wedding night. So the newly married 18-year-old, she filed for divorce and she asked for her dowry back. I think that's got to be. He could get help. You don't have to divorce him, but hey,
that's gangster.
Hey, she was like, give me my money back. That's worse than that.
Oh, my God.
That's worse than that married at first sight. Have you ever seen that?
No.
Oh, God. It's some reality show that I bumped into. I guess it was like their third season. and you don't meet either one of them. You meet them at the altar, and you get married, and then they decide at the end of whatever time period that if they're going to stay together or not. They get set up professionally, though. Huh?
Yeah. I think I heard something about this, but I love the idea of getting a dowry back, though. I do.
Oh, that's wrong.
I do.
I would expect you to be mad that they actually had to pay one, but now you're like, no, get your money back.
No. Well, if you paid it, get it back. I want a refund.
It's just me.
This is my silly night. I'm sorry. y'all forgive me.
God.
Right you wrong. Don't write me.
You know, I'm saying no refunds. Like, once you get past that, there is no refunds. That's what he should have said. Now, you need to stay in here. You go on your own free will, but there's no refunds. I spent that money. Well, it depends how much it was.
No, get that money back. Because he knew. That's the thing. Because you know he knew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, he knew. Exactly. I guess it's like buying a house, right? If you don't disclose, then you can void it. He didn't disclose.
This is over. I bet they gave it back to her, too. So, come on. He wants kids, right? If it was the other way around, just imagine. Oh, she's barren? Remember? Come on.
Oh, that's true. Okay. Now, I have empathy. See, way to turn that on me. Yeah, I guess. But if she knew, if she knew she was, I think, yeah, you got the, I don't know.
It's much more difficult to know that you are, you know.
Well, you.
Especially
I was going to say, you'd be a tough judge. I would hate for you to be their divorce attorney. I mean, the judge that they had to see. Because the questions that you would ask, you're like, well, let me ask you this. Did you know? And did y'all plan on having kids when you got married? Was that a partner deal? Because they obviously didn't marry for love if she had to pay. But anywho.
That's right. Come on. You pay a dowry, you want the whole shebang.
All right. Well, since I did that story, I might as well keep this in the Love Fest stories. But there's a new dating service that promised to find your perfect match by smelling the dirty T-shirts of a potential partner. Now, it's called Smell Dating. It is based on the science of pheromones and the chemical signals that, you know, people have, like from giraffes to animal kingdom stuff. But you can actually go online and sign up for the service that you get to smell somebody's T-shirt before you date them. I'm sorry. I tried to keep it straight until I did this story. But I'm going to go back to the I want my dowry back. Like, if you smell their T-shirt.
I'm gonna ask you if this was founded by the doctor, the psychologist that does that program every day on the D.L. Hughley show, or at least it might be every Tuesday. I think it's Think Like a Human, Act Like an Animal.
Oh, that's the opposite of Steve Harvey's book.
Animal, act like a human, whatever it is. But I might be thinking like an animal, act like a human. But she talks about, you know, certain situations in relationships and then breaks it down based on the animal that would act that way. Or if you were this animal, this is what you would do.
No, God.
I know. That might be her dating sex.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds like she put some thought into it. So, technically, yeah, that could be free game. Man. Now, in Atlanta, I have a bad Atlanta story. Now, Atlanta School is moving its prom over concerns about a pro-white rally that's planned for the same day. Now, the parents fear that violence could erupt outside of the Peachtree Ridge High School in Georgia as counter protests have been scheduled the same day as their dance. Now, can you not protest in front of schools, though? I mean, I don't know what the pro-white rally is. Is there a park there or something? But I don't know why kids have to – they're trying to go to the prom. Ain't no sense at all of that. Just wanted to say that.
Okay.
Just a bad day, huh?
No, I didn't have a comment.
Okay, good. Thank you. Because I was gonna comment, but it was gonna get worse. Now, speaking of Georgia, I'll go to the Alabama one. I'll do this really quick. Carrie Witt, a teacher at Decatur High School in Decatur, Alabama, not Decatur, Georgia, is charged with two counts of a school employee in engaging in a deviant sexual act with a student under the age of 19. So Witt teaches history, psychology, social studies at Decatur High, and she was coach of the girls' varsity golf team and the junior varsity cheerleading team, sleeping with students. Now we have another one, Terry Hatcher, 35, Glen Rose, Texas, arrested after an incident kind of left her daughter with second and third degree burns. The neighbor called 911, told police they saw burns on her daughter, who was completely nude, and I don't know how old the girl was, geez. And Hatcher, who tests positive for marijuana, alcohol, and she was high on meth. This would be our meth story for the day. Yes. And a Utah boy was killed a day after his 8th birthday when a woman driving under the influence of meth hit and killed him as he rode his skateboard. Now, these are the stories that we normally don't hear in the news, but there were so many of them that I thought I kind of had to do some of them. Now, a Texas high school football coach told his black players that he would hang them by a tree if they didn't behave. So assistant coach Todd Campbell from Centennial High School in Fresno resigned after the allegation surfaced with parents and students complaining about his conduct. I don't think there are allegations anymore if you have to keep threatening high school kids. And like that, it is Texas. So I guess I need to throw that out there. Now, a South Carolina Spanish teacher, Alexandria Davis McClure, at Burns High, has been charged with sexual battery. Her and a student, 16, began chatting after the 16-year-old left his number on her desk. She's 25. All right, now Charles Adams, a therapist in Iowa City, Iowa, is charged with sexual exploitation after a female patient accused him of billing her when they had sex 25 to 30 times over a year, but he billed her. He is 76 years old. All right, that's enough in disgusting news for today, but I just thought, because there's like at least 4 more stories, Kathleen, but I hear this a lot when we do stories, that we act like it does not happen in this country, and we vilify certain people. And these are like, normal Texas, Utah stories, Oregon, Iowa, Oklahoma stories that we don't usually get. And they don't like to talk about that, but I just think we kind of had to talk about it. Now, I don't know if you saw heard the story where the woman, remember we talked about this, the woman whose 4-year-old shot her in the back when she was driving?
Yeah.
That they're now going to finally press charges. I know we did that story when it first happened, but I don't know who thought that was funny, but she apparently did. She's a gun nut, and she was bragging about taking her 4-year-old to a gun range and letting him shoot, and then he shot her in the back. So she's now going to get charges.
Wow.
I just thought I'd share that.
Yeah.
Yeah. She really does. Now, did you see any of the president photos and stuff from him being in Cuba and in Argentina?
In Argentina?
Yes. The president's in Argentina.
He's in Argentina now?
Yeah, he's flying back on midnight. He's been there for the last 2 days. It's funny, news didn't cover it. They didn't cover him too much in Cuba, and they didn't cover him in Argentina. And
what I saw was a picture of him standing in front of Che Guevara. Did you see that photo?
Oh, yes. Yes. I saw that picture. What'd you say? That was terrible?
That was terrible, the way they did that. And the other picture that I saw, the video that I saw, which was so classic, was when they were getting off the plane in the rain. And yes. He had the umbrella in the wrong hand, and the way Michelle looked up at him like, excuse you?
She was like, put it in the right hand.
I
know. They had a good time.
Yeah.